Friends, this morning I'm turning to the epistle of Apostle Paul to the Romans chapter 5 and to verse 10. Romans chapter 5, verse 10. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Friends, for some time now, whenever we had the opportunity, we have been thinking about the state of the unregenerate man, or the man who is not born again, or as the Bible calls, the natural man. The state of such a person in the eyes of God. And I think it's a very, very important issue. As I've always said, if you know your state, it is good for the unbeliever and for the believer. For the unbeliever, it should be scary to you to know your state before God. To the believer, it will help you to appreciate what Christ has done for you, where you were, and where Christ has brought you into. And the Bible has so many descriptions of the state of the unregenerate person before God. We have looked at so many of them, and today we'll be looking at one of them which is so much importance that it must be of concern to everyone. And that is found in the verse that I just read. So our title for today is Natural Men Are God's Enemies. Natural men are God's enemies. And you know the American is there. If we are not a creation, then be a benya akonye biyano. Yeah, me check she mu actually ni pass. Say the say a man our full fra. And after say unya meji yesu niya. Say the uti biatiye. Ewo unya kupon enim. Na e adi e say ni pe biya uhu. Say uyo biya unya ni asemuni niya. E say ebo uhu. Na utumrika. Na uyu uhu free sa ti biyano. Uyo binswa. Say yesu aji unkwa. Ebe ma wo ofu yesu ewo no uye de mpaso. Na unso no. So we begin with where the Apostle Paul started. If you notice from the beginning of this whole epistle, the epistle to the Romans, from the beginning to this very chapter that we just read, Apostle Paul has insisted on the doctrine of justification by faith alone. You see, Apostle Paul is trying to explain, as we reformers or we in the evangelical tradition believe, that justification is by faith alone and through grace. So Apostle Paul has been trying to explain this right from the beginning up to this chapter. If you go right from verse 1, you see that all that Apostle Paul is trying to do is to explain the doctrine of justification. Some of Paul, as some of can say, well, teach him. The entire Bible, as she said, so many in Quadje, and as you do bonny a becheuno, a adum. If it's a way or the boyeni, let's answer yes, we are mountain. Now, other than it will be our winya bonnieda. And in a Paul, a teaching, and any justification by faith alone. And then in this chapter, he goes on to explain the benefits of justification. In Dubon says, a higher Yabekano. I feel the Paul teaches him says the amount to be here and for so bene also the benefits of justification. When you are justified, what do you benefit from? First, he mentioned peace with God, and then present happiness, and then hope of glory. You see, peace of God, if you look at it, it is mentioned in the first verse. He said, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul, as of Obese or Chenese, says, Satibiano, say, oh, and I only want to want them, I back home. Peace, said Bonibia, new Yankopon and Tim. And as I say, we are here at Timu in Suno, we bought home by Sa, and I will free our consua, Dutch in Suno, we call any glory in the hope of glory. So he said, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In the affair, Apostle Paul, watch him. See, because we are justifier, and for so also no any doing. The kind of only young people on them, I back on. If we are here, we must know, Obey and Jay, when you go on, because he said that things who are Obey Cody, when you go on, that is your final glory. Then when you go to verse 2, he speaks of the present blessedness. and then the hope of glory. He said, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So here he's talking about the present blessedness and then the hope of glory. Because when you are justified, then you have access to him by faith. You see, when people start to pray, the last few weeks or so, I was asking Sunday school children, how do they pray? What do they pray for? One of them woke up and said he prays for protection. You see, people always want to pray for what God can do for them. They don't know their stand before God, where they need to be liberated from that stand to come to God. As a sinner, your only prayer that God will hear is a prayer for God to save you from your sins and to become his child. So we that have been saved, if you are justified, then you enjoy the present blessedness, knowing that one day to when you die, you go to where God is. And when you talk about this hope of glory, the apostle particularly named two things: the blessed nature of this hope and the sure ground of it. How blessed it is, the hope. And that's why now you won't go from no. Paul, a church, he said the insha e waso. And he said the e yadi e dawo say by all means unsabeka. And then Paul, a church, he said say if we are seeing no energy no or the bema abra wole ni namu. And at that chance so oko no hono mu a obey mawako weni mu nyamu. Now Paul just said when you are justified, then the glory, the hope of glory, is also assured, is guaranteed. That by all means, you will get it. I will explain that one later as we go on. So let's now talk about the blessed nature of the hope. And that's one of Isaiah was one of anything. Apostle Paul says, it enables us to glory in tribulations. You see, he says we glory in tribulations. Tribulations, I've already explained to you many times here, is pressure. In this world, there will always be tribulations. But if you are justified, you will glory. You will be happy. You will rejoice, even in the tribulation. So the Christians, our hope is described in the verses 3 and 5. He said, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation works patience, patience experience, and experience hope. And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. All what Apostle Paul is saying is that the blessed hope that we have talked about will make up for all tribulations. If you have the hope of going to heaven, everything that you are, every pressure you are going through in this world, you will rejoice, because you know that when you go into your glory, it will pay for all the sufferings. Apostle Paul asked, "All can he say? He share what's our justification?" And he said, "So what do you say?" Yadubani achew. Na dachi ube called you nyaku pon wodia. Obra ubre we asimu na crano. Enya udin. Kse umuse wo bre, obra, enche biano, ube ko uhupum. And that is what Paul is saying, because in John 16:33, he said that in this world we shall have tribulation. Christ has said it openly, that in this world that we are now, we will have tribulation, we will have pressure, we will have troubles, and we are seeing them. The wars, the sicknesses, the pandemics, poverty, and everything that we are going through are all tribulations. And we all go through, whether you are a Christian or a non-Christian. But for the Christian, your hope is that even though you are going through all these things, he will be with you in the tribulations, plus a hope of glory in future. This is exactly what Apostle Paul is trying to explain here. And when you say patience also, tribulations leads to patience, and then patience also leads to experience. In verse 4, it says, patience working experience, and experience working hope. Meaning, when we thus bear tribulation with patience, working for the reward, this hope is experiencing the working of the Lord. You see, when you are going through tribulation, that is where you see the proper work of the Holy Spirit. If you don't go through tribulations, you will never see the work of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. So whilst you are going through all these tribulations, you'll be patient, because the Holy Spirit will be with you and guide you. I'm sure many of you who have been through that situation will know how God sends his help in times when you don't even expect, in a way and manner that you don't expect. So you see that all these are the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to aid you, Even when you are going through some problems, one day you'll be there, you open a chapter, and it's talking exactly about what you are going through. So all these are the works of the Holy Spirit. Apostle Paul, what can he say? The entire also say, oh, call ahunhiye mukra na, eye inshallah, and he say, so we call ahunhiye mwa, and I be humkone woman, said they see a wow. Said they, humba chewa, a kwebisu, na, obeka kwebisu, a yiwe a few moon. Don't say, yes, I do with you, and you want to say one more it is giving you experience of the Holy Spirit. If you haven't been through tribulations, you will never see God's work in your life. It's like a boxer. If you don't go and fight, you can't say you are a champion. You have to go and fight. And then in the fight, you see your skills and then whatever training that your manager has given you. This is the same way that he's talking about here. If you are going through tribulations, this is where you see the work of God through the Holy Spirit. Then verse 5 talks about the hope does not make us ashamed. Meaning, we will never be disappointed. Why is he saying that? Because there you see the love of God shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit. That's why I'm saying that when you are going through, then you see the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. Now, he also talked about the sure ground there is for this hope. Why is he saying that this hope is sure, is guaranteed? By all means, it will happen. Look at what he said in verse 6. For while we were without strength, in due time, Christ died for us. Even while we were ungodly and sinless enemies to God and Christ. The argument that Paul is making here is that if God had done the major one, the most serious one, like sending Christ to come and die for you. And remember, he said he died for you when you were ungodly, when you were sinners, when you were enemies. That's the time he sent his son to come and die for you. So if he had died for you, and through him you are justified, why are you not sure? Why can't you be sure of the glory that is supposed to come? That's what Apostle Paul is trying to explain here. That once you are justified, the hope of glory is assured. Because he has done the major one. When Christ died on the cross of Calvary, he said it is finished. It means everything that we needed to come to him in glory has been done. Paul Asuma Okanu, the apostle of Chene said, say, Yamon justification, and I said, Oboni Achew, say, Enipa Anka, why a bonny? But it's not say, Yesu, Ewa Mountain, Yadu Machew. So, Pasa Tibiano, not a Maunya, and yes, any yes, Tibiano, heaven, so no, Obeko. I didn't hear. If you say, the edge in Pan, I used to know. A man be woman. Now, Obe woman, so a bra, now we are or the boy any. Now we are enemy. Now we need a coupon. And a man be woman. Now, say, see, yeah, or one was justified, you know. And all you will know, Emma Wana. I propose to pass more over to a channel. Say, see, and there, what justified, Bonnie be any woman. Brab, when you won't cry, what me, I be woman. Say, see, I bonnie new woman. Oh, my wana. That's what Apostle Paul is trying to say that. So when Christ came to die, his death was virtually for all. It included the whole grace of God in salvation. Everything that we needed to be saved was included in the death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So sinners who are justified by the death of Christ are already virtually saved. If you are justified, virtually you are saved. That's what Apostle Paul is trying to explain, making sure that people understand this justification. I'm just wasting time to explain this before we come to our own topics, why we are enemies of God. But I want us to see the importance and the need for justification. So that when you are justified, then you know the hope of glory is guaranteed. So what it means is that what remains to be done is no more difficult. The difficult one has been done already. Christ has died on the cross of Calvary through the work of the Holy Spirit. You have come to believe this. And therefore, you are justified. So once you are justified, what is left now is just to usher you into his glory. And that is not any difficult thing at all. So here, there are some three descriptions used in the text and which describes sinners as they are in themselves. We are not going to read all because it's a long time, but it's from verses 6 to 8. If you want to take your time and read, you find all of them there. It tells you the various states of man. Like I've already said, that the Bible itself is a picture, and it's a kind of a family album. We all know how family album, to God, this is about the family album, and the pictures in God's album are the true to life. What the Bible tells about us is the truth in life. The Bible does not flatter us. It says it as it is. And that's why it is so, people don't like to hear the truth in the Bible. That is why you see in many churches, people are being deceived. They are not telling them exactly their state before God. They tell them they are okay. Oh, if they are not doing such and such and such, they are okay. But the Bible tells you exactly who you are before God. And they are all warnings. Friends, they are warnings for us that we must follow. The mission is there. Apostle Fastman or Kano, they all come and say, "Say who you will be a do born in a chewa heavy according there." Obi will say, "Sure, it is there for you." If you say, "Yeah, here paano, yes, you abab." And now, from chapter 6 to verse 6 to 8, you know, of church here in Ipa Etibia, ewo ekwabi breso. Say the tear ewo unyankupon eni. In this year, the abeche say the unyankupon no ehunu yekase natural man. Obi a yen fani born in enchemi. Obia or one body, said the Yakupon see Hunu. And when we say natural man, we mean the man who is not a Christian, who has never been born again, and who is described in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3. It says, by nature ye are. So when we talk about the natural man, we are talking about a man who remains in his state, in his fallen state, and has not been born again. That is why we call the natural man. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. He said, "By the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God." If you are natural, you can never, never receive the things of God. If you are not being born again, the whole gospel of Christ will be nonsense to you. Unless you are born again and you are enlightened to see what Christ has done for you. He said, "By the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." You see, not until you become spiritual. You can read the Bible so many times, you can never understand it. And people will deceive you by telling you their understanding of the Word of God. And in most cases, they read the Bible to justify what they want to do or what they want to say. But when you are justified, when you are spiritually, when you are cleansed from your sins, then you can understand. Otherwise, it will be nonsense to you. As the Bible says, it says, "They are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." So this morning we are going to look at one of the photographs of the album of God about the fallen humanity, or every man or woman who is not a Christian, as we have already said. When you go to Ephesians chapter 2, you see many of the descriptions there. When you go to Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, you see many of them there. When you go to Psalm 14, verses 2 and 3, you see many of the descriptions about the fallen man. Go to Isaiah chapter 1, verse 5 to 6. You find it. We can't read them because of our time. Then when you go to Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, it tells you how your heart is before God if you are not born again. And then when you go to Romans chapter 1, as I just said, from 21 to 32, it sums it all up, the state of man before God. The American says, "And the prayer, you ever said the Onyankupon, once the medical maker said, Yankupon, for Kabi Beso, I describe what said the tear at their chain. In the past weeks, my can be brave. Now, and then you're over. Come on, me who say, I said, my eh, we are, I said, Ubiano, Ujin, who ye, or see you, Yankupon, a temple. You are an enemy of God. If you are not being born again, you are an enemy of God. Now, make us say, Yanko, Oko, baby, bra, Babo, no, attitude, a movie, bra, Oko. Ephesians chapter 2 are Elho. We call Genesis chapter 6 verse 5 are Elho. We call Psalm 14 verses 2 and 3 Elho. We call Isaiah chapter 1 5 to 6. It is there. We call Jeremiah 17 verse 9 also. 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 We call Romans chapter 1 verse 21 verse 22. We call Jeremiah 17 verse 9 also. We call Jeremiah 17 verse 9 also. Now, when we turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12, we see that what we were before God, like I'm saying, those who have been saved, chapter 12 describes you, what you were, your state that you were before God, if it wasn't for Christ. Then, like I said earlier on, you appreciate what Christ has done for you. Let's see what Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 says about the natural man. He said, "The natural man is dead in transgression." The natural man is dead in transgression and sins. What is death? When we talk about death, we know that physical death is the separation of the body from the soul, then we say you are physically dead. But how about the spiritual death? It's separation of the soul from God. And it is very serious. When you are separated from your creator, your source of power, your protector, you are separated from him. And that is the state of the unregenerate man. You enjoy the rain, the sun, and everything. But the special blessings of God, you are not part. Because you are not a child of God yet. You are just a creator of God. Then in the same, in verse 2, it said, the natural man walks according to the ways of this world. You see, no direction. You walk according to the ways of the world. And the ways of the world are sinful ways. You are born into it and you follow it. The tradition, the culture, wherever you were born, you follow what you are seeing. Or see, chapter 1, so obi a yemana of fufron, wewu ewa bonimu. See, this is why we say that the gospel preaching for people to repent is the most powerful miracle that anybody can. And that's what Christ was talking about when he was talking about the charismatics are using, greater works. When you're talking about greater works, this is the greater way, because any unregenerate person is dead in transgression. So if you preach to the person and for the person to come back to life, this is the greatest miracle. No miracle can be compared to this. So when people are talking about the greater works, I don't know the kind of greater works that they can do. Because they have never brought anybody from death to life. They have never walked on the sea. They have never turned few loaves of bread into many. They haven't done all this. So what greater works are they doing? That will be more than. But Christ said it, because we will preach for so many years. He preached for only 3 years. But we will do it until he comes. So that will be greater as compared to what he did. And that's what Apostle Paul is trying to explain in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Now, we are working according to the ways of the world. A we are seeing, and I will be a tree. Yahoo, what we are seeing? We need to be a guide. So, we need to go. And God's word is the only true guidance. Any other guidance is not true. And yet, that's what we are all following. We are seeing what we know. Sometimes when I sit down, and especially when you go to the villages, you see the same lifestyle. What people have done and where it has ended them, the same thing goes. Nobody is changing, trying to change or divert from that. And that is a kind of bondage. So, you are too weird thing more. The open huno, and no one will be a tree. The one and I'm going to fear for you, we'll claim for you, and you be an idea. The culture and some room, a jama more, be bia more a ya, and also an idea. Because you do the other two, it is a cast away a natural manner. You work according to the ways of the Lord, and it is dangerous. Your conduct, your dressing, your pleasure, everything is how the world does it. And then the next one in the same verse, we said, the natural man follows the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. Who is that? It's Satan. So if you are not walking according to the word of God, you are walking according to the ways of Satan. There are only two ways. The worldly way is controlled by Satan, and then the godly way controlled by God. See, you will not say, you are our fufra. Would be upon somebody, upon some control, the person we know and obey, and as soon as you see, I know if you are soon, the politics, everything that you can think about in this world is Satan who is controlling it. So, if you are not come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that is what will be controlling your life. So, you are controlled by Satan, and this is what our first parents did. They listened to the lies of Satan, and then they yielded. And then we all see what has become of it. And we are doing the same thing. So we have become men of disobedience. So the natural man is a child of disobedience. The same verse 2 is talking about a man of disobedience. Why are we disobedient? Because we have been born into it. That is why David said in Psalm 51 verse 5, he says, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. See, this tells us that by nature, our tendency is to commit sin. By nature, there's nothing good in you. The only thing that is in you is your sin. That is why you can't bring anything to God when it comes to salvation. The only thing you have is your sin. There's nothing good in you if you have not been born again. When they go to verse 6, the natural man wants to fulfill the desire of his sinful nature and to follow his desires and thoughts. So because we are spiritually dead, we are controlled by Satan. Our desires are fleshly. Everything is carnal. Romans 7 verse 18. He said, "For I know that in me," look at Paul saying this. He said, "I know that in me," that is in my flesh, "dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not." You see, even if he wants to do good, he can't do it because of the sin in him. So the state of the natural man is a very serious one. That must concern everybody. You must get out of it. Otherwise, wrath is on the way. As he said in verse 6, the natural man is a child of wrath. If you are not being born again, you are a child of wrath. And when we are talking about God's anger, I don't know the kind of words I can use to describe the anger of God. So, it means that by nature, we are all condemned and under the sentence of death. It's a sad state, isn't it? Yahweh be Iriasimu. When you are born, you are no. It's a sad. We free Adam, you know. We in a year of condition. Also, we are a child of disobedience. Obia, we are in the embrace. Now, we are in the embrace. So, you free Sati Bianu. If you say, "Ewo mojem," and now we will be so, I would be Satan. The Satan be kind of in a way. He said, "We are seeing, we are seeing, near man, sir, and answer your near man." I just said, "Come on, be you free, sir, Tibian." Now, for the banner, and sana, who be in the idea, he said, "We are." And now, chapter verse 12, we see the natural man is separated from Christ. You are separated from Christ because you are natural, because you have been born in sin. Obia, you are. Yema our front. What you want for Jesus? And remember, he said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except through me." So if you are separated from such a person, you see how disastrous it is. Or not so or no and quani of hand will be in court janho. And this one so. Not the same person only any track can be idea better than I call on Yankupon. Then verse 12 say the natural man is excluded from citizenship. See, if you are a natural man, you are not part of God's citizens. I'm sure most of you who have traveled before, you know the importance of being a citizen of the country. There are so many things that you are not entitled to, just because you are not a citizen of that country. The same thing is applied to us here. One count, you can't find a home, you can't share your camera, you can't find a Bible, you can't find a home. When people you see on at the back of their car, "No weapon formed against me can stand." When you say, you can never apply them to yourself if you are not born again. Those things are for God people who have been born again. They are the ones who can say that if Satan plans against them, it won't work. If you have not been like that, you can't apply that to yourself. And then in Acts chapter 4 verse 12, it says, "Neither is there salvation in any other name under heaven given among men whereby we are saved." There's no other name. Buddha can't save you. Muhammad can't save you. Hindu can't. No other name except Christ. So if you are separated from Christ, you see how disastrous it is. Then verse 12 says the natural man is a foreigner. A foreigner. So and we know that a foreigner has no claim, like those who are not citizens. They have no claim. If you go to England, for instance, now and you want to go to school, you pay school fees. If you are a citizen, you don't pay school fees. It is the same thing like us. If you are not a citizen in God's kingdom, you can't enjoy God's benefit unless you are a citizen. And then the verse 12 says, the natural man is without hope. The same hope that we are talking about, that when you have it, you are sure of going to heaven, and therefore any tribulation you go through in this world will not be a problem to you. You don't have it. If you are not born again, you don't have that hope. And then he goes to say that you are without God. Friends, if you are a godless man, no, you don't have any God behind you, the creator, the possessor of heaven and earth. You don't have him behind you. What is your state? And then in verse 15, he says, that we come to our topic today, you are an enemy of God. So by nature, we are enemies of God. We hate God. Psalm 14 verse 1 says that, the fool has said in his heart, there's no God. That's what the fool says. So here is God's picture of the natural man, as I've explained to you. According to God's estimate, man is by nature lost, hopeless, completely ruined by sin, and is under the dominion of Satan. It's a serious bondage. You are under the dominion of Satan. Oshia obon samasi. As he said, Obi akofa anomaibi. Now, to tune the wings. Now, ordinary sea baby, I say, a very hot ejection, but it can't fly. That's our state. We are placed under Satan when he deceived Adam and Eve. And therefore, he controls us. Even if you want to stop sinning, you can't stop. Nobody on his own can stop sinning. Why is it like that? Because something is holding you, and that thing is Satan. And then, when we come to Ephesians 2, verse 4 to 7, that's where the hope is. That God loves us. In spite of all this, our situation, God still loves us. And he wants us to be saved from this state. And that is why he brought our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And like I said earlier on, it is difficult for people to accept that they are God's enemies. Isn't it? It's very difficult. You may believe that you are a sinner. Okay, you have done that. But to say that you are God's enemy, nobody will accept it. But this is what the Bible says. Even apart from what we have read in Romans and all the other areas, look at what it said in Colossians chapter 1, verse 21. It says, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. See, so you are an enemy of God if you have not been born again. Then Romans chapter 8, verse 7 says, the carnal mind is enmity against God. So, no matter how you take it, the word of God is true. It says the carnal mind, which is the worldly mind, the fleshly mind, is enmity against God. So, this is the state of the unnatural or the unregenerate man. And this is what I will be endeavoring to explain just as we come to the end very, very soon. So, I'm going to explain why, because like I said, it's difficult for people to accept that they are enemies of God. So I'm going to explain how they are enemies of God, and the degree, the extent of their enmity, and why are they enemies. How are they, the extent of the enmity, and why are they? Now, the first one is that their enmity appears in their judgment. When we say you are an enemy of God, it is in your judgment. Your natural, Your judgment, how you judge things, your pleasure, your wills, your affections, and your practice. And they are all something that it will never let you see God as he is. You judge. That is why sometimes when people are praying, you see the way they are praying. It tells you that they don't even know who God is. Because if you really know who God is, you can't go and stand before God and pray to him anyhow. By shouting and stamping your feet and all these things, it tells you that such people don't really have the fear of God in them. So, such a person is an enemy of God. He sees God as something small. And then, he thinks that makes him happy. Sometimes, I hear people when we are singing hymns, and they will tell you, oh, these hymns are boring. We just want to dance. We want to shake our bodies. You see, if you read our hymns, and they are boring to you, then there's something in you that is not right. Because if you, the hymns are doctrinal, they are encouraging, they are comforting, and yet people tell you they are not comfortable with it. It is, so their pleasure, their affection, their everything is against what God wants. And see, men are ready to entertain a good esteem of those whom they are friends, even more than God. We see people praising some men. They've done this. But when it comes to God, the natural man is always against God. They are opposite to God, and everything that they do it as if God is a man like them. And then, like I said, in their pleasure. You see, they have some distaste for God and his way. Because if you are a Christian and you are born again, I'm sure even when you wake up in the morning and you haven't prayed, you feel like your soul is hungry. Just like how if you haven't eaten, your physical body is hungry. If you are, it will be like that. But if you are not like that, God's everything about God becomes something small. Look at what King Pharaoh said in Exodus chapter 5, verse 2. He said, "Who is this? Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice?" King Pharaoh, this is what he was saying. Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? That's when God has sent Moses to him and God has performed all the miracles, God has shown him all those things. He went on to say that, who is God that I should obey his voice? In Job chapter 21, verse 15, he said, "What is the Almighty that we should serve him? And what profit should we have if we pray unto him?" You see the state of the natural man. They can't see anything in God. That who is God that they should even pray unto him? Psalm 10, verse 4, talk of the wicked man. He said, "The wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all their thoughts." The natural man hasn't got God at all in his or her mind. And because the man is naturally against God, anything about God, they soon go away. Because they don't know who God is. So even they come here and you preach to them, they listen. As soon as they go, it goes off away. As like the parable of the sower. Because he said, the seed that falls upon the hard path, the birds of the air soon take it away. Or like seed that falls upon a rock. That's exactly how it is. If you are not being born again, unless you have been regenerated. Otherwise, the word of God is nonsense to you. And it comes and goes. It can't stay. Because the thought of your mind is not the thought of God. And then your wills are contrary to the will of God. God's will and this are cross one another. You see, God wills those things that they hate. They hate what God wills. And they are opposed to it. And they want to do it according to their own way. Their own sinful way. They don't like what God wills. And like I said in Romans chapter 8, verse 7, he said, the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. The Yetian said, Say, we will be a dentier so ye on Yankupon a town for himself. We are Yankupon, so you are Kufra. On Yankupon, what junimu, when Tiatia, the idea Emma Winiji, meaning now your idea in free on Yankupon, not if free Satan. Need now free idea on Yankupon to Italy. And don't say, oh no, who do the Onyankupon tree? And I'll find the Onyankupon Edo. You hate what God loves and you love what Satan likes. So you hate what God loves. So you can never be friendly with God. And therefore you are an enemy of God. Your wills are contrary to God's will. And all your thoughts are contrary to God's thoughts. Now let's see the extent of their enmity. The first thing is that they have no love to God. You see, they don't have any love at all for God. So their enmity is without a small amount of love. Pure enmity. They hate him for everything. John chapter 5 verse 42 says, But I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. Christ is saying this, that you have not the love of God in you. There's no love. If there's a small amount of love, the hatred will not be as high as it is now. But there's no love. So it's pure, complete hatred. And so every faculty and principle of action is wholly under the dominion of enmity against God. Everything. So Paul said in Romans chapter 7 verse 14 that I am carnal, sold under sin. That was Paul. Even when Paul was saying this, he was saying this when he had been converted. And yet he's saying that I am carnal, sold under sin. You are sold under sin. How did you get... How were you sold under sin? When Adam and Eve believed the lie of Satan. And you have become part of it because you are born in Adam. So your everything is sinful against God. The understanding is under the power of this enmity. See, even your understanding. You see, you are trying to understand God in a way that you are trying to understand your enemy. Once he's your enemy, everything that comes from him, you won't take it. So you can never understand him because of what your state of mind is. So sometimes even you strive to understand, but you can't understand because of the enmity in you. Not until the enmity is cleared out, you can never understand God very, very well. So even if they are trying to go to church or they are trying to listen to God, it's hypocritical. And yet, and correct. So I'm going to ask you now, or panic. And yes, and I come up with a person, but see, when you go for a person. So they come as hypocrites. Despite so many sermons about the goodness and love of God, they can never overcome this enmity. When they come to church, we are talking about the love of God, the mercy, his loving kindness. Yet in all of them, they can't take it because of what is in their mind. And that is what Christ said in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. 23, verse 37. He says, "Oh Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often will I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathered her chickens under her wings, and ye will not." See what Christ is saying? In spite of you killing the prophet and everything, he wants to gather you, and yet you won't come because of the enmity in your mind. So this enmity, when it was fully demonstrated, sometimes people, when we are talking about what happened to Christ when he came, you would think that if you were there, you wouldn't have done that. You could have done the same thing. If it's only for the grace of God, we could all have done the same thing. Look at what they said when it came to choose between Christ and Barabbas, who was a murderer, as compared to Christ, who committed no sin. Nothing was found in him. They said, "Crucify him, crucify him, away with him." That's what man said that they should do to Christ, who was God, who has come to save us from our sins. That's how they hated him. They said, "But Barabbas, who really deserved the death, they might save him and then kill Christ, who had not done anything." So natural men are greater enemies to God than they are to the devil. That's what it is. The person who is a murderer, they wanted him to go away, and Christ, they want to kill him. Enipa etanya meka ho asem no. So bodo hu ni yepa, be hu no bra Yakobon e dan ne hu nipa. E ba e wo Yesu mu. Na ye ni kwa gina palate no manim se ye bua no fo no. Obi a ono kom nipa, eye Barabbas wo kom nipa no. Enipa ni na se ye nya wo man nko. Na ye nkum Yesu. E de otan de chenwe. Obi a onya wo hwio. Ono mo no aba se obi wo se de be ya ye be ji onkwa no. Ono afi ye nkunu. Na de wo kom nipa no de, nipa ne ho chen. It tells you the enmity that is in the heart of God. In John chapter 8, verse 24, he said, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the love of your father ye will do." He was a murderer from the beginning. See, so Christ is referring to the people as Satan being their father. Because all what they are doing, it is Satan who hate God like that. And because they are in Satan, they also hate God in the same way. Now, I come to the reason why they are enemies to God. And I've already talked a lot. The general meaning is that they oppose God because they worship idols. I know idol worshiping is one of the things that God hates. And that is what they love. They want to serve idols, created things, more than the creator. So because God doesn't want that, then they'll hate him. When God created us, we were united to our Creator. So our love, everything was towards God. But when the fall came, now our love came to be for created things instead of the Creator himself. In Judges chapter 18, verse 24, you remember when the idols and the images of Micah were taken from him. Look at what he said. "He has taken away my gods, which I made, and what have I more? You have taken..." Look at such a silly statement. Sorry to say this, but look at what he's saying. "You have taken away my God, which I made." What you have made is your God. So because you have taken it, you have nothing left. You see the state of the unregenerate man. His hope is on the things created, not on the one who created them. So what have I more? It means once you have taken the idol, he has nothing again. Or he be now your friend Micah. Or say, okay, Judges chapter 18, verse 24. I'm going to say, Nabusum can get you now all smooth now. No, by no, so much Mabusum and I didn't do any work. But you say, then that's what was our name anymore. I see, on Yankupon. So, a man in this respect can never save two masters. No man can save two masters. According to chapter Matthew 6, 24, say, no man can save two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else you hold on to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. It's as simple as that. You can't serve God and serve his created things. So if your love is for his created things, obviously you are an enemy to the creator himself. Another reason is that God opposes them in their those service of their idols. Job chapter 20 verse 12 says, this wickedness is sweet unto them. That idol is sweet unto them. Then Ezekiel chapter 34 verse 14 to says, for thou shalt worship no other god, for the Lord whose name is jealous. It's a jealous God. God is a jealous God. He doesn't want you to worship any other idol. So because they want to worship other idols, then they become enemies of God. And in our times, those idol worshipings, as we know, are not prevalent in our time. But then they are still operating in some other ways. You may be idolizing something more than God. Either your career, your children, or something of God's creation more than God himself. And if you are doing that, you are cleaving to those idols, and then you hate God's command. Because those idols, God commands, is against them. And you want to be with them. So obviously, you will be against God. Another reason why they are enemies is that God threatens them with everlasting damnation. See, God does not just say, because you are doing this, he threatens them that in the end, there will be everlasting damnation. Revelation chapter 21 verse 8 says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. See, God has threatened them that those who do those things, they will be in the lake of fire. So you see, having seen this state of the natural man, if you are not come to believe in Jesus Christ, this is your state before God. Now, let's see what God is like, and then what man is like. Then it will be easy for us to conclude that men are God's enemies, and they are the most miserable. As I said, those who don't have God in their life are the most miserable. First, he is the eternal God who fills heaven and earth, and whom the heaven of heavens cannot contain. This is the God we are talking about. He fills heaven and earth. The whole heaven and earth cannot even contain God. When you go born now, only no air corner or air with town for no. But then we say, you know, who said your tear? Only we are seeing Naya Nidia. On the boat, we are seeing so Eshen in that. Second, he is a God that made you, in whose hand your breath is, and whose are all in your ways. Or no, you go born or bow. So, I'm home, so I'm home. A war with Yango Pons. Now, saying, yeah, covered by him, and now you know the importance of air, the air that we breathe free. I don't know if people were paying big sums of money for those ventilators. I don't know what you call them, that the one that they use for them to be able to breathe. And God has given all these things to us free. He is the source of all these things. And if he is your enemy, then what is your state? The God who controls your breath, he allows you to breathe. If he holds it, you go. And yet, you are an enemy of him. He is the God in whom you live and move and have your being, who has your soul and body in his hands every moment. Every minute you move, it is God who controls it. And if you say such a God is your enemy, then what is your state? Consider, even in your locality, people in your area, if they are all your enemies and nobody talks to you, if everybody was against you and despised you and hated you, how will you feel? You will see that's a big calamity. You will never feel happy. Then think of God himself, the creator of heaven and earth. Even people in your community, when they hate you, well, maybe they don't feed you, they don't do anything for you, but still, you won't be happy. Then how about God himself, who holds your breath, your life, your everything in him? And this God has become your enemy. Now let's see the dangers of this enmity. Very soon, God will send his death unto you. Death will knock at your door. You see, friends, this life is like a rolling. Time is rolling. It's rolling. Some are getting off. Some are climbing. You see, it's a very serious thing. It is rolling. Some are dying at their natural death. Some die when they are very young. And then some are being born into it. But time is going. The time you have today to hear this word today, you might never have it again in your life. You see, it is going. And it will come to an end one day. So that is how we are living in now. You are living at a time borrowed. It is all in the hands of God, your creator. A day will come when God will call you and you go and be accountable unto him. So if you should die as an enemy of God, there are so many things to fear about, because when you die, there is no chance for reconciliation. It is finished. That's the danger of the enmity. That's why I say that with all the descriptions that God has given us, the most serious one is this one, being an enemy of God. Because everybody wishes bad things to happen to his or her enemy. So if he has power over you, then what is your state? Zechariah chapter 11 verse 8 says that my soul loathed them, and their soul abhorred me. This is what God is saying about those who hate him. O kra kra no la and say adiboni bi e wo onyakopon enim. After a short time, dying time will come, and then what will be the consequence of the enmity? God whose enemy you are has the name of your body in his hands. Nipa na also no etwe na oyew wo tamfo no obi bia e won sem enche bia no obe demand e fi ho. A time is coming when the world shall be dissolved and everything in it. And where shall you be? What will be your state before God? What will you go and tell God? In Amos chapter 4, verse 10 to 12, he says, I have sent among you the pestilence after the manner of Egypt. Your young men have I slain with a sword, and have taken away your horses, and I have made the thing of your camp to come up unto your nostrils. Yet have ye not returned unto me, says the Lord. I have overthrown some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and you were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning. Yet have ye not returned unto me, says the Lord. Therefore, that's what I do unto them, O Israel. And because, you see, God is warning here what he will do to those who hate him. So it is very, very scary. And it is God who is saying it. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 31 says, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Hebrew from a man, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of God. People are also talking about the love of God, the love of God, his mercy and his grace. They are not talking about his wrath. In the same way as his love, his loving kindness is in the same way that his wrath is. And one day that side will be shown. And where will you be when that day comes if you are an enemy of God? So, like I said, the aim of every hatred is the misery of the object hated. Obiano your time, obey an answer or no watch him and I be there to. And that's how God is going to be with us. There will be no time for reconciliation or to turn to God again. On that day when he comes to knock on your door, everything will be finished. And then in Proverbs chapter, as we come to the end, Proverbs chapter 18, verse 12 says, the king's wrath is as the rolling of a lion. You see, the king, so hini or chess or hini ebufua, and they say lion, jata, or boom. Now so hini bo edit is abia, how about the creator God himself? So if the king's wrath, our fellow human being, is to be like this, then how about the wrath of God? Enemies of God can never escape. Psalm 21 verse 8 says that thy hand shall find out all thine enemies. Thy right hand shall find out those that hate thee. Thou shalt make them as a fiery oven in the time of time, in the time of thine anger. The Lord shall swallow them up in his wrath, and the fire shall devour them. And then Psalm 56 verse 68 verse 21 says, but God shall wound the head of his enemy, and the hairy scalp of such an one as goeth on still in his trespasses. So anybody who go on in your trespasses, this is what God will do to you in the last day. And according to the Bible, the last day is coming soon. God has promised that Christ will make his enemies his footstool. According to Psalm 110 verse 1, he will make his enemies like a footstool of rumbation and anxiety. So Christ is coming soon. He's coming to judge the world. So now, Isaiah chapter 1, as we come to the end, he says, 1 verse 18, say, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as colored, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. You see, what a comforting word. That in spite of all our situation before God, all these descriptions I've mentioned, and the consequences that will follow, God is still saying, come and let us reason. Come and let us reason. That is why I always say, when I meet my Muslim friends and we are talking about sin, when they all believe, they believe that yes, we are all sinners. And when it comes to how are you dealing with your sin, that's where the problem is. God said, let's come and reason together. You have sinned. I know you sinned because of Adam and Eve. Because of my loving kindness, I'm coming in the form of a man to die, because it is only through death. Not until blood is shed, sin can never be forgiven. So I've done that for you. I've sent my son to come and die so that his blood can... Just believe in this and confess to me, and I will make you a child of God. And then you will be liberated from this power of sin, of Satan, and all the wrath that is yet to come. O nyanko pa suma o kan ai ai di be we ni say say the messiah can say the nipa tie o nyanko pon ni say the ye na tanfo ye ye edi obun samachi ye ye nyina achi no isa odo a o di na make nyanko pon say ka so odo a ye ampa ba o sa wo egufuo e di no say it is a fearful thing to fall into his hands. I don't think now o bokoko wa ka sem na ka one day o tie sem ni bio, then you will see his anger. And say the all can say the wa ye nyina achi no onim de ntia e ma ne ba ne sa enti na ono adane ne huni pa bae e be wuye se 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 ehwie mogye anu wa bo ne fache ni ho enti odi ne mogye na be guo e di e be je onwa enti gidi di asem we di. Believe that Christ died on the cross for you, confess your sin to him, and he will forgive. This is the whole message of the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And my prayer is that we will understand these things, and if there's anyone here who are not giving their life to Christ, this is the time. Time is rolling. There will be a time that you will never hear this word as we are speaking about this again.